It's been a very dramatic week politically, internationally, regionally, and of course, here at home. Let's hear from Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Welcome, Neil.
Yeah, Chris, a Sunday that I think we can look back at a week. I think our show is starting to be known as The Week That Was, and I love it because we can summarize, dissect, and talk about the things that people do know, but from a Neil De Beer and Chris context, I think it just crisps it up to put people in context in layman's terms and plat op die grond, as true as what you can get it. So a very interesting week domestically, Africanly, and internationally. You're very right.
Neil, I so appreciate you being here. I know you had chemo this week. I know you're not feeling well. And I wanted you to rest this weekend, but you refused. So thank you so much. So thank you.
Well, Chris, you know, the amount of messages, the outpour of support in my new fight against cancer, the third time now. And yes, you are right. I started my first chemo session yesterday. But sitting there, having these drips going in and seeing the messages of love and the grace of God come in you this side, it counters the cancer ideology. And true to Neil, I am absolutely at peace. I'm even now more motivated. And to those who don't like me, remember one thing, I fear nothing except the truth must be told. But I wanted to say thank you for every listener, every person, Chris, you that inspire of sending me messages of strength. It's going to be a hell of a 16-week ride. Maar sê onkruid vergaan nie, roosbome groei en die trosse drywe moet geplik word. But thank you very much. I won't miss this interaction, no matter what, even if I have to wheel me in.
The immortal Mr. De Beer. Neil, let us talk about the past week in this way. I would like to ask you, what happened this past week that made you really angry?
Well, I think more and more what makes me more angry is this absolute circus, this tremendous play of power, greed, innuendos, treachery, treason, and self-implosion. Of the one thing that I must tell you, when I was a younger man, so many of us that are here, that I see that write to us, that comment, come from this era I'm going to mention. Irrespective of politics, Chris, there's always been this decorum, this kind of ideology that politics, parliament, and politicians were regarded once upon a time, sounds like a fairy tale, as noble. That if you had an ideology, and matter not your ideology, if you were a socialist, you were a socialist. As jy 'n nut was jy 'n nut. If you were a nationalist, you were a nationalist. We had the nutter and the supper, and families nearly murdered each other because of the political ambiance of their following. You had the National Party, you had the Progressive Party, but if you were, like in America, if you were a Republican or a Democrat, my God, you rose and you rised and you flew the flag. In our country, we have a clear understanding what that was. Personally, we have lost political decorum, totally. We have lost loyalty to what sits in your chest. And therefore, this week, when you sit back again and you look at the everlasting circus that is being played by the ANC, the GNU partnership, and now this massive declaration, pardon me, of Dali Mpofu. Dali Mpofu, the surrogate carrier of so-called justice, who represents the darkest of the dark, people that are accused of looting, of committing crimes. Now we'll say, but Neil, everybody needs defense. Yes, you need defense. But once you look at it and you look beyond defense, it becomes ridiculous. So a man that defended the EFF, a man that was the chairman of the EFF, a man that swore allegiance to its CICCCCC, only in wind that man is a commander-in-chief, Julius Malema, who stood in court battles assisting them, and then also at the same time protecting Jacob Zuma in the multitude of cases, which, by the way, we've now declared 80% Tom Saki has lost, makes a declaration he was a founder. Because he was a founder of the MK party. So there in his revelation, without even sending a letter apparently to Julius to say bye-bye, he goes on a podcast and he says that it is a fact that he and Jacob Zuma had an inaugural meeting on the formation of MK.
Sorry, I just want to interrupt you there. I spoke to Mr. Jabulani Khumalo yesterday, the real founder of MK, and he calls Dali, bluntly, a liar. He said Dali only came on board at the launch of the party in Hyde Park. That was when he came on board. Of course, yes, he joined MK before he joined MK, but he was certainly not involved in being a founder member. He was never a founder member, and Mr. Khumalo provided all the founding documents to back that up.
So he's building his own Lego blocks. He's saying he's the founder of Lego, yet the real founder of Lego is asking him for the patent. So if we can sit, and again, Chris, I'm sorry, I'm always harping on this, MK is the biggest magnet that is drawing the biggest consortium of atrocity, of skullduggery, of people that are tainted. They are drawing them into their carcass now. And then Julius's response saying, there are two more. He mentions two more that will leave.
Do you want to venture a guess?
Well, I think one of them undoubtedly is Ndlozi. I think so-called Dr. Ndlozi is not going to stay. I think he's going to go. And the other one, we are still debating. But my reasoning of bringing this up, Chris, is again that there is a no doubt move of a lot of critical mass of people that were highlighted, not for their achievements, but for their suspicion and alleged sinking of this country. And they're going to MK. It makes Julius's party EFF. And if you look at the man's demeanor, he's defeated, Chris. He's got a little bit more of spew this and spew that. But when you look at him, I think he knows the bell is going to be rung. And I don't think they're going to make it. I think the MK machine is going to grow even bigger. And they're going to then launch whatever their plan is. So very interesting, the Dali Porfo move. Again, Dali taking a lot of intelligence, information from the one side to the other. This is something that we will need to look at within the internal politics. But a shame, a shock, that you get people that sit in other places knowing they're going to go and maybe starting to cause such demise and destruction inside. A good businessman told me one day, if you're going to fire a manager or a top-end person, do not give him time of leave. Give him his leave pay, but tell him to go today. Because while they're sitting there to go, the tantamount damage they can cause is even worse.
Interestingly, I looked at Mr. Mapofu's statement in which he basically declares allegiance to the EFF, the ANC, and MK, even though his membership of first the ANC and the EFF have lapsed. So it was a little confusing, but as you're saying, people are no longer proudly a member of one particular party.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how good are you in Afrikaans, Chris.
Jy kan maar praat.
In Afrikaans, in die HAT, that is the most formidable Afrikaans.
Woordeboek.
They say when you look at... die verklarende woordeboek. If you look, they say if you open a chest of drawers, and there's a lot of stuff there. Hulle sê, dis 'n poespas van vermoor. 'n poespas. I am declaring that this political state of the republic is a poespas van goed wat hier rond lê, and I'm sorry, it is covered in a chest of drawers called politics. How horrendous, how crazy, and we've not even yet begun. So you better go look up that word if you don't believe me.
Yeah, Axel Moot. Neil, what happened the past week that did give you hope, though?
I think the it didn't give me hope, but it gave me a sense of, okay, hang on. The Bella March. I looked at this Bella March, and because a person must understand that every culture, every race, every creed, has something. You know, we've got something. We stand up for it. And at times, we unite under it. You know, sport in this country is just one of those things that unites us. Because all of us inherently see the rugby, the soccer, the cricket, the netball, the Olympics, as a place where we can maybe put politics aside. The Bella Bill will remain one of the most contentious matters that we will have to face. What made me proud is that AfriForum, Solidariteit, Freedom Front Plus, PA, the DA, irrespective of our opinion, decided to say we're going to put a pin and make this not be forgotten. There was a lot of politics thrown in that march, the choice of color, the choice of logo, which they didn't put up, but put up orange and set. But Chris, it remains a kind of weird scenario. That mark net nie sin. You have Pieter Groenewald, Dr. Groenewald, John Steinhuisen, you have Clayton McKenzie, who are ministers in the parliament and cabinet of the GNU, marching because of the current scenario of the implementation of the Bella Bill, the refusal, it seems, of Clause 4 and 5 being finalized as agreed to by the president. And at the same time, you have a very dynamic lady that is the current Minister of Basic Education, saying even up till yesterday, she's waiting for the command to implement the Bella Bill. Now, if this isn't democratic to you, then please send me a WhatsApp, because you are a minister in cabinet marching against a decision signed by your president in your cabinet, face value saying that you are marching against it, but it's already been signed. You then take that memorandum as cabinet ministers, but now you have to put up your hat as a leader of a political party associated with Solidariteit and Carrie Creel and that grouping. They hand the memorandum over to another cabinet minister who's in the GNU, who on that day, you've had him on your program, the Honorable Gayton, also now saying that he is absolutely opposing the Bella Bill. Three ministers standing there and saying that we totally disagree against the Bella Bill and you should think your cabinet. So this is another matter where Citizen X, even myself, that have a little bit more insight, I am saying, I think again, die koel is deur die kerk, die melk het op die grond geval en dis nou modder. I doubt that this thing is going to get the reprieve of this mass march of 10,000 people saying, nay, nay. But I'm doubting that the president and Fikile and their big little marchman within the circus, Lesufi, is going to let that happen. And that's my opinion. But it is an absolute, absolute conundrum to me that you've got cabinet ministers, political leaders that sit in government, and that they are attacking a matter now outside.
Well, Neil, talking about members of cabinet marching against itself, in a sense, am I going mad, or did the ANC also marched against itself this week?
That's crazy. I mean, what are they drinking? I mean, you wake up one morning and you decide you're going to march because service delivery is bad. The communication of government listening to the people on the ground are terrible, but you are the government. And then you go to the street and you demand better services, better hospitalization, better, 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 better. You voted them bloody in, you moron. So you now go put on your ANC t-shirts, you clap the placards, you walk around the place and you say, no, we better get better services. You are the service. So no, Chris Steyn, you are not going mad. The world is mad. And we are sitting here and going, at times, if we didn't have Netflix that could take us away, we would be mad. And this is the conundrum. The conundrum that we are sitting at. Who do we vote for? Who is really going to be the real lion? Because all of these ones are coated as lions, but are mere meerkat. So, again, Chris, the Bellable march, weird. And then the ANC march, absolutely saying to ourselves that we are going into a deeper level of madness. So I fear that we have now stood back after a national election that has not given anybody power, Chris. So the ANC, I don't think, knows what can they do and don't, so they assume. The GNU partners are sitting there and going, we're a little bit lost because we were the opposition and could attack the main government, but now we are government. So what do we say or what do we don't? I'm telling you, this was predicted, Chris. This is not known. We knew that after the election, the fallout, the dissection, the understanding, the signing of a grand coalition, the GNU as sold to us, would now enter this period of the Bermuda Triangle, where things are muddy, things are unclear, matters are not settling. They better get through this, and it's either going to be a Hilux Bucky or a bloody Ranger that will have to pull this government out of the mud. You see how good I was. I didn't go one side or the other.
Neil, now you've been very familiar with gang activity in this country for decades. The assassination of Lifman reminded me of that. I'd love your take on the implications.
Yeah, Chris, I can say that this week was a very interesting, and not quoting interesting as positive, interesting in going into a rabbit hole into the dark side. Two things sporadically in the crime synopsis of this week happened. And I'd like to maybe just give perspective. What I have now noticed, Chris, and I would like to put it out there, and it's not a cliche, but there are a lot of people that have commented now on these matters. It seems any bloody person that has got a phone, access to data, has now become a crime reporter. It also seems that everybody now that can read social media has a bloody opinion about fact about what is happening in the underworld. The cliche I'm seeing these days, and even in my days that we use, that becomes an utterance of nonsense, is that if you live by the sword, you must die by the sword. Well, my question is, have you ever bloody carried a sword? So I take this seriously. People are dying. People are being assassinated. people are being murdered. This matter is a very dark side. You know, we always say stay in your lane. So the one thing I want to tell people is just because you are seeing information coming through channel, it doesn't mean that you are privy to intelligence. Intelligence is a matter that is taken seriously by those that have been in it. Gangsterism, violence, murder, extortion, and cartel business is not something that Joe Soap or just normal members of the public should be putting their hand in that hole. That's a clerical statement I'm making. I come from the intelligence services. I am not an expert on gang violence, on extortion, but part of my portfolio, where I am in the city, is to understand what happens within the circles of crime, understanding the intelligence. So I'm going to make the following statements in regard to ask the people that are Facebook warriors and sitting on keyboards to please be very, very careful on putting statements out there that could cause extra harm and mayhem. There is a massive scenario of now authority and state investigation. Call them what you want. They are still a group of very good investigators in this country. Chris, when you look at Mark Liffman, when you look at the other people linked, as we are so being updated on the front page, you and I receiving probably 127 WhatsApps from people all over the world that says, did you know? And we have to listen to it. But at the end of the day, this that happened within the conclave of the Western Cape, the current apparent fight between the dark side in themselves. Now, this is very significant. And if I may spend a minute on using a scenario to make it even more palatable and understand. You know, we've got to take things that are complicated and make them simple. Gangsterism, the mafia orientation of people running the underworld, is a business equated to a company. Yes, they are a company because their end goal, no matter what you like, is to have power, to have control, and to have money. The third one, the most critical, money, greed. They, can we call them they? All of them. The Liffmans, the Stanfields, the Modaks, everybody that is connected. I'm not mentioning names that are not now household names. They are known. They are in a corporate division. They've started a corporate entity. They're a company. Each one of them have their own territory. Every one of them has their own speciality, and everyone have their part that they need to play. So not by demonizing them, I'm putting it to you in a perspective. They are a company. Their business just is much different to others. Their business is extortion. Their business is drugs. Their business is guns. Their business is assassination. Their business is to control certain areas and industry. So that's their business. Now, within that business, there will be rivalry, Chris, like in Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Fanta, Sprite. I see there's a new drink, Bashes, the old cool drinks. They have a rivalry. So I'm just sensitizing you to make it as simple as possible. That you are dealing not with an entity that just goes around and fires off stuff. They've got missions. They've got projects. They've got individual dreams. It's just that they chose the dark side to get there. So when we stand back and we say, what was that man's role? What was that man's role? You've got to understand that the end goal is money, territory, and power. Now, where two rivalries, Pepsi and Coke, when they go to war, they use advertising, they use marketing, they use their product, and they showcase it so that they can actually obtain market share. Now, if you can equate that, that's what's happening here. There's territorial discussion. There's court cases happening. There's affidavits. Who's a state witness? Who's not? Who's going to turn? Who's going to talk? Who's going to spill the beans? Who's going to do who on who? This is what is happening. So when Mr. Lifwin, when Mark was assassinated, it was the understanding in this company that there's fear, that there's opponent, that there's objective, and that there's massive pressure. This what's happening right now is because of pressure. Pressure coming from inside the group and pressure from outside. We also now understand that it is not just local pressure, Chris. There's global pressure. There's cartel pressure. There's governmental pressure. So what I'm seeing right now as a standout person that can deliver the basics of intelligence, but cannot say that my intelligence is the only, is that there is a pressure pot on a stove. That thing was shut. And slowly but surely what we see now, Chris, is that, you know, the pressure cooker has little valves that gives the air pressure to escape. I think the top blew off because the opening of the valves was not enough. So when that thing burst and the first pop valve went off, I can tell you that it's not the first pop valve that went off. There's been an absolute circle of life in the past 2 years where you could see pressures come. We are sitting in a cooking pot. I think at this current moment, just as a citizen, we would not want to see these matters that are now open to public to become harm to the normal human being. We hope the authorities are in control and that this matter of the death of one of the members is not going to spiral out of control, because that's my concern. My concern is that the normal human being, no matter what happens, don't carry a sword and therefore do not have to die by the sword. It is a concern, and we hope that the authorities are going to get up and come. And for the people that are in that group, in that their choice of industry, their choice of history, that they would understand that the majority of our people in this country did not choose that industry, that crime, and that they should be protected as well as Citizen X. And that the police, yes, the police must take their mandate to ensure safety and security. That is on the Mark Lifwin matter. We then also now had the declassification of the IPED report. For those that do not know IPED, the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, they are the people that investigate and look at matters where internally in the police there has been matters of breaking of the law, etc. Now, when you remember Lieutenant Colonel Schalkenier, a unbelievable, super detective and investigator within SAPS, who was moved from his previous job as a detective and was seconded to the anti-gang unit in the Western Cape as part of their investigative section. The commander, as you know, was Major General Andre Lincoln, retired. A person very close to me in the sense of history within the ANC, the struggle area, but also as a friend. I note that at that stage, he was the commanding officer of Schalkenier. And then Schalkenier was assassinated. So the document after the Kinnear assassination was sealed by government. But there was a massive investigation. There were masses of investigative, explorative discussions and interviews with very high-profile officers, both in the AGU, SAPS, and yes, the Hawks. That was shut. The wife of Colonel Kinnear, though, has never given up. She has not stood back. She has demanded that there must be clarity, and she wants to know, obviously, who was behind the trigger. Because the trigger person, 95% of the time, is not the person that paid for the trigger. It wasn't the person. We want to know. We've had many of them, you know. Lee Harvey Oswald. Who was it? Chris Hani. Who was it? And now you can say the same with Mark Liffman. Who was it? And Schalkenier. Who was it? The who was it is more critical of who done it. We come from there, Chris. We understand. Documents were unsealed. What a dramatic revelation on the amount of people that were involved, the amount of accusations of people that did not do what they were supposed to do. Interesting. And thirdly, the people that they are accusing, counter-accusing and saying, nay, nay, we asked you for help. I'll say it, I'll put it out there. I can be crucified, I don't mind. If there's one person that in this whole affair that I can categorically tell you in this affair that was hurt, damaged, and became the scapegoat was Major General Andre Lincoln. Because I say that vehemently because you know who I am. And I sat there on many occasions, cup of coffee and a good biscuit, and I could see in the eyes of those people that I mentioned that there was nothing more that they can do. What's going to happen now on the fallout is that certain of the members are retired, so internal processes cannot happen anymore. It is now the understanding of will they prosecute outside the members that have left. Watch the space, because most of the people remember that I refer to in that company, some of them in custody, are also intertwined in this IPED report on the death of Schalkenier. So one can only hope and happen that the truth will come out, that certain people that have lost their lives did not die in vain, and that this will become a matter of public record, which now, Chris, it is. And it is a shocking indictment on what we believe the people that represent us on the thin blue line. And again, I just want to make a statement. The real police, the officer that you and I dream about and support, we've got to think of them, because it's a scourging attack on police, but it must not be a scourging attack on all. Not all police officers in this country are in the dark. But for them, we need to give up.
Neil, lastly, I'm sitting here wondering, can you and I get away with not referring to Trump's victory, or will our viewers never forgive us?
No, they're not going to forgive us.
Go. Off you go.
I think we've got to, just quickly, if I may also, say in this week we saw the sporadic collapse of peace and stability in Mozambique, the shutting of the Limpopo border for good reason, because they nearly came over. And we pray, Chris, that our neighbor does not sneeze too hard, because we will get the cold. So we can't deny that factor just to lump in there and say that in Mozambique, the matter is not stable at the moment. And a pity, because what a beautiful country. What a stunning country. I think, I don't know, I think you've had the pleasure of seeing the country, maybe. I have. And I think they deserve peace. So just on that. And then boom, boom, Chris. The absolute utter rubbish of saying it's neck in neck, it's 50-50, just is going to be called at the last minute. Nonsense. Trump came up, did the dance, looked at the people, slapped Harris, not physically, turned around, and he took victory. Victory in a sense that they weren't even halfway in the elections, Chris, and I was monitoring and getting a little bit of a side insight from the US. And there you are. The Trump, the Donald, has just become the 47th president and was the 45th. I am unashamedly a Trump fan. I will take 60% of his character. I love it. The others, you know, he has to start correcting his way and manners of dealing with our women and ladies. I do not concur with that. Absolutely not. If I could remove that part of it, it would be perfect. But just the sheer confidence, the audacity of this man with his MAGA movement, Elon Musk sitting at there and going, I'm now going to take America to the 10th generation. You'll probably be opening a Donald Trump segment party office in Pluto very soon if he can.
Or a MAGA shop on Mars.
Yeah, on Mars. But the places that he's going to go, a South African being a huge part of getting Trump elected is also important for us. What this will mean to South Africa is more important what it will mean for the world. Because we are South Africans. I fear when Cyril, you remember Cyril, right?
Mm-hmm.
President.
Suki.
Did you see his speech to Trump? And you know, Mo, he stands there and he says, in a true Robert Mugabe speech, you will remember Robert Mugabe getting up when he was in Kukulala land and saying to Tony Blair, you keep your England and we will run our Zimbabwe. That was verbatim a statement made by Robert Mugabe. In Vrachta, Cyril Suki Ramaphosa uses that exact frame of verbiage and says that, and he says it to camera, Donald Trump, you keep your America and we will run our South Africa. Stay out of our country's business. Now, if there's not enough problems that we have, problems that we need to fix in our own country, and understanding that no matter how you paint this bloody zebra, it's coming back black and white, that the United States of America remains one of the largest economic blocks in the world, like it or not, that that kind of verbiage, that kind of speech, sudden patriotism is now bringing out, is going to just tickle that person overseas, the left rugby ball, and he's going to get murah, because we already have so much to say. How do we now deal with America when we are dealing with China, when we are dealing with Russia, when we bloody took Israel to the court of justice of the world? No matter where you stand on that, I don't care. I am a patriot of this country. I am a South African, and I would like to ensure that the economy of this country is not politicized. So if I was Suki, Cyril, I would shut up. I would stand back and do anything possible to ensure that our international relationships, no matter with what country, is to the benefit of ours. And I think Cyril needs to wake up. Someone must wake him up and say, you must ensure that when you meet, if you are given that granted time with Donald Trump, like him or don't, that you make sure that our relationship is on par. And currently doing statements like that, I don't think it's the right thing. I think his advisors must become very prudent, and we need to fix that, because, you know, Trump, at the end of the day, had a very, very negative opinion about us.
Indeed. Thank you, Neil. That was Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on this Sunday show with BizNews. And I'm Chris Stang.